I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on Radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off the Kicksville. The Drippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes a kite.
You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Hola, and welcome in our listeners out. Great radio stations like 98.9 The Rock, Kansas City's rock station. Also, our friends at Big Dog 97.9 in Joplin, Missouri, and Rock 105, Chattanooga's rock station in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're talking about rule breakers today. Who broke the rules, and did they get away with it or not? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Dick.
Hola. Hola.
So who broke the rules?
Hola.
Hola. Hola.
Derek, who broke the rules, and did they get away with it or not?
It was me, and of course I got away with it.
What did you do?
Do you want us to guess, or would you like to tell us?
Kind of goes with Thrill's story about smoking in a place where you're not. I became more of a regular flyer on airplanes right about the time that they stopped allowing cigarette smoking on transatlantic flights.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I'm on the airplane. They still have, you know, all the dirty ashtrays that are in them.
Yeah, of course.
You
don't know. Smoke. Ignore the ashtrays.
So I'm jonesing. So finally, it's like 3 hours into the flight. I was like, all right, well, my wife's sitting there. And I was like, I'm going to get up and hit the bathroom. Go to the bathroom. I kind of look around, lock the door behind me, and notice that there's a filter up in the top left of the toilet so I can get to that by standing on the toilet seat. Grab some of the toilet paper, wet it down, put it all around the filter, light my cigarette up. You know, at least you could still carry lighters back then, right?
Yeah,
and start smoking my cigarette, put it out, throw it down the, you know, the trap, all of it blows out. I come out, sit back down by my wife, and she looks over at me like, you didn't. Well, yeah.
See, that's the thing about smoking cigarettes, though, is that, you know, we don't smell it anymore, but if you just put out a cigarette, it doesn't matter who you walk by, they are very aware that you just because you smell like
you
a
reek
cigarette.
Of a cigarette. Absolutely. So did they make the announcement over the plane like, just a reminder, no smoking is allowed in the lavatories?
Oh, yeah.
Derek.
Because it was fairly new then as well, too, because, I mean, they still had ashtrays in the...
Okay, yeah, right.
So it's just basically, this is a non-smoking flight, you know, transatlantic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, look, to me, I've smoked in places I'm not supposed to, sometimes by accident, like a mall in Alaska, other times quite on purpose, but never on a plane. Like,
there's
a concert in... Where is it? I don't remember if it's Seattle or Baltimore, but no smoking. Understand the policy. But between bands, like anything, I'm drinking beer. Now you really need that cigarette. So I go into the bathroom. It's a stall. I was Baltimore. I started puffing on a cigarette, but I'm blowing it. God, I'm so bad. I'm blowing it out of my stall, like under the divide, so it goes into the stall next to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't realize there's someone there, but my plan was, like anything, you're just trying to throw them off the path. So security guard walks in. You can hear his keys jangling, and I see his shoes. And I think he's going to stop in front of my stall. He stops in front of the stall next to me where I'm blowing the smoke through. That's when I discover there is someone sitting there. Because the security guard taps and he's talking to this guy now, right? Sir, you know damn well you can't smoke in there. Come on, homeboy. Just put it out, man. So I'm waiting for this guy to rat me out. The dude says, sorry, man.
Oh, really?
So I put my cigarette out at this point. And like anything, as soon as I flush the toilet and get up, this guy in the stall next to me, he's coming out at the same time just to look at me. He's like, you owe me one, homie.
I said, man. I'll never see you in a bathroom.
I said, thank you, dude. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Who broke the rules and did they get away with it or not? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Don. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hola.
So, Don, who broke the rules?
Well, actually, I'm the Don with teeth. I got to make that clear. But, no, when I was a kid, you know, I was kind of a self-taught locksmith, made my own lock picks. You know, being a good Catholic boy, I couldn't steal, but I'd pick the locks and let my friends in.
Okay, so I won't steal, but I can open the door.
You were an accessory.
Yeah.
But after the fact, but can I throw one thing in? Years ago, me and my wife were traveling on Amtrak, and we had a porter, we'll just call him Big Bob. He was a great guy. You know, he used to come in and say, hey, Bob, you want a beer? I snuck a case on. And he'd come in and he'd slam a quick beer. And he knew that we were smokers and we were jonesing because we couldn't smoke. So he said, meet me downstairs after dinner. And he'd open up the window and we'd hotbox a cigarette between the two.
Yeah, you can do that on Amtrak. I mean, I hate to tell you, but the bathroom around, especially the big one in the downstairs lower where you go down the steps, that's plenty big enough. You can open up the window in there. Or if not, man, just go off the back.
All right. I mean, it's not like they don't know. They're basically
asking. But the problem with trains, though, too, is like they'll just kick you off at the next stop.
That's why you have to be sneaky, Ted.
And you always have to have your luggage on you, like your backpack.
Yeah, right. But we stopped in Oakland, and we got out, and we were hotboxing a cigarette. You know, I'm a fair-sized guy, like 6'1", 235 at the time. And these guys, they looked like real gangsters. Three of them started coming towards me and my wife, and all of a sudden I saw them get this strange look on their face, and they spun around and walked away. And I turned around, and here was Big Bob. You know, he was about 6'7", big black guy, shaking his head at him, going, No, we got away with it.
It's weird when everything went to hell with cigarettes as far as, you know, like how far you could be socially indoors and all that stuff. There's a ton of weed smoking in Seattle at that point in time. Legalized marijuana hadn't come around yet, but it was understood.
Sure.
If you're smoking a joint, it's not a big deal. It was a bigger deal to smoke a cigarette within 25 feet of a door. You could be out there with a bowl. And a cop would come up and go, guys, walk down the street. You know what I mean? Or put that out or whatever the deal
is. Just going to the alley.
If you have a cigarette, they would come up to you and go like, do you want a ticket?
I know, man. I would want a ticket.
I mean, seriously. Where did you get those? It's a 7-Eleven?
I know it's not illegal, but I would ticket your ass.
Who broke the rules and did they get away with it or not? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Catherine. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi.
Hola. Catherine, were you the rule breaker?
I was the rule breaker, and this was about 15 minutes ago.
Right.
I was actually listening to you guys on the radio, and I ended up running a red light.
Wait. The way you phrase that makes it sound like we distracted your driving.
Yeah, why did you run a red light?
Yeah, what was the scenario?
I was actually looking for a Pagliacci on the corner because I knew I had to turn right. And then I was also listening to you guys, and then I just ran a red light. But luckily, it was in a construction zone, and there were no cameras, so I don't think I will get caught.
I only hit two workers?
Yeah.
Over a cone?
Also, fines double.
Oh, yeah, trust me. They have cameras. You might think they don't have a camera. There's a camera up there somewhere.
Because look, if there's a way to make money, that's one thing. It's worth investing in these cameras because these cameras, I mean, it doesn't matter the state. It pays remarkable amounts of money in return. And the worst thing you're going to do is get a ticket. But let me ask you this. What other traffic violations are you likely to... Like, most people don't run red lights. We agree with that. But I'll speed all the time. I mean, like, what do you do notoriously? And just don't care.
I don't think I really do anything notoriously. I'm actually pretty a careful driver. That's only the second red light I've ever run. And I ran one stop sign on accident before. That's like the extent of my rule breaking.
All right, let me ask you this. If a cop car, because I don't care who you are, you're driving a car and I see a cop car in the rearview mirror. What do you change about what you're doing? For me, it's easy. Slow down.
Right. Yeah. No, definitely slow down and stop and probably put my hands on the dashboard because I'm brown and we got to be careful, man.
Yeah, I know.
I think you should break another rule tonight. When you get that pizza, take a bite out of the crust first.
Oh,
yeah.
What are the? I know kind of what the white rules are. What are the brown rules as far as getting pulled over?
Listen to what they are saying and keep your hands exposed. Don't have your hands hidden anywhere, because any excuse to shoot your ass is a good enough excuse.
And never be carrying anything like remotely illegal. They will immediately get on you about it.
Oh, yeah. It's just different.
That's just
same rules, but the punishment tends to reflect how they've decided to proceed.
Let me tell you this. If they do happen to send you the like the picture of your car or whatever, and you go to the judge, just know they also have a video of it. Because when I got my ticket, when I made a red light, basically what happened was...
Were you on your scooter?
Yeah, I was on my scooter.
God, and it's so much more
and
humiliating.
I stopped over where we used to work.
Full stop?
Got a red light. Of course it was a full stop. I stopped at a red light and made a right turn, right? And I see, and I stop there every day. And I see the pictures that they send. They send four different pictures of my scooter. They have the front of it, the back of it, and everything else. I see that the brake lights are on my scooter, okay? So I know I'm almost 100% positive it came to a stop. But I don't realize that they have a video. So I'm like, F this, I'm going to challenge it. Because I know I stopped.
How much was the ticket?
Whatever it was just the point of it.
Right, the point.
It
I see my brake lights on, obviously I stopped.
But I don't know they have video. I just think that they have these still photos, and it shows that I'm braking, and I stop, and I make a right-hand turn, whatever. So I tell the judge, I said, hey, man, I said, I'm telling you, I go that way home every night. I stop at that light because it's a busy intersection. There's no way in hell I'm going to blow through this thing like that. I can't do it, man. I've got a small little scooter. I got to be careful. And he goes, okay, let's run the video. And you got to remember, there's a courtroom full of people up here. And their cases are next. And the video's up there. And he goes, let's take a look. And I'm like, meow. I just blow right through it. And I reach in my back pocket and I put my checkbook out on the counter. And I just start writing the ticket.
Let's go to the videotape.
He's like, no, give it to the woman back there. I'm like, all right, yeah.
My bad.
I'm out.
Maybe take it to me, right?
I didn't know you took a whole video. I thought it was just these pictures.
My brother, man, he is years and years and years ago.
What do they say in the NFL throw?
So the answer
is...
we
confirmed it.
Right.
No, after you go to the replay.
When the official wants to let you know, don't ever boo my ass again. Right. After video review, the call is confirmed.
It doesn't just stand. It's confirmed.
Confirmed.
McGovern.
They didn't even make the call to New York. They didn't have to. It was right there. It's like, this is blatantly obvious.
My brother, years ago, man. It had to be like 30 years ago. He, I guess,
I know. It's like
he got a ticket for blowing a red light. But my brother being my brother... He comes up with this whole, like, mathematical thing. The idea was, based on the speed limit that is allowed on the road he was on, and for the amount of time that the yellow light turns yellow, then for whatever distance he was, it is impossible for anyone to brake and stop in time for the red light without being reckless, right? And so, but he's an engineer. He lives for this kind of thing. So he puts this whole presentation together. Anyway, his court case comes up. And I remember my father's kind of laughing at him. Like, hey, it's like a $75 ticket, man. Is it worth my room? Hey, man, that light turned red. It was only yellow for a number of times. So I'm going 45 or whatever. Like, all right, go for it, man. So he goes to court. Same thing. It's just traffic court. There's fools like you up there. You know what I mean? Just typical dumb stuff. So they call my brother up. Your ticket here for running a red light. My brother pulls out this briefcase, pulls out an easel, has like this entire PowerPoint presentation. Before he got maybe even a third of the way setting up, the judge looked at him and just went, case dismissed.
Get out of here.
My brother was disappointed.
He didn't get to show his presentation.
The judge is just like, I don't care. You know what? Never mind. You're fine.
You are listening to the Mentor Radio Network.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
A couple of broken strict coronavirus lockdown rules by seemingly having sex in a photo booth in a Barcelona metro train station.
That makes sense.
Footage taken by security guards at the metro station in the city of Barcelona shows a man sitting on the booth seat. His trousers around his ankles, and a woman seems to be standing in front of him. The guard coughs to get their attention, and the apparently couple who are caught says, we're taking a photo. Yeah, sure, the worker responds. A pair can then be seen pulling up their underwear and telling the guard they will soon leave. The secretary of the Professional Union of Private Security said the scene is a sign of poor conditions on the metro. Another unnamed union representative said they have called the regional government as they have noticed that pickpockets are still working in the area, despite the isolation measures ordered by the government. So it's not only the couple having sex, but there are more people down there at the train station than they would like. That couple, by the way, was given a ticket, and they were taken home.
That was it?
That was it. That was the, well, whatever.
You got laid and got a ride home.
Well, apparently they had to meet up at a mutual station.
Sure,
so,
sure.
So, you know, the one person took the train halfway, the other took the train halfway. When they get to the station, there's nowhere to go. They find the photo booth, they get in, and they're going to go about their own way.
Took the midnight train going anywhere.
Who broke the rules, and did they get away with it or not? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola. So, Mike, who broke the rules?
I did. Now, before I go into that, can I tell you guys thanks? I'm actually the guy in Idaho that was without a job.
Oh, really? You got hooked up?
Yeah, I did get hooked up. One of the jobs required me to sign up with an online...
Mike, you just cut out on us.
So it all ended up working out, so...
So, I'm sorry, your phone cut out when you were explaining what happened. So you said you were you had to do an online what now?
I had to do an online application, like using, like, you know, Indeed.com or ZipRecruiter or something.
All right.
So I used them, and I uploaded my resume and everything, and then somebody contacted me from ZipRecruiter, so I ended up getting a job that way.
Fantastic, man. That's great news.
And if I remember this correctly, you have 6 kids. Is that right?
That is correct. Good memory.
You had 6 kids. If I get that, you had just moved to Idaho. You had agreed to take a job. Basically, the job started for like a day or something. But because of all this stuff, you're laid off because you're the low man on the totem pole. But you had just moved your family. And I remember you saying you had 6 kids and I almost fell out of my chair.
Okay, I got to ask. Out of the 6 kids, they're not listening.
Who's the ugliest?
Which one is driving you absolutely nuts during this whole lockdown? Yeah, right. Which one of the 6 that you're like, I can't take this?
Well... My oldest is a teenage girl.
Say no more.
She's having a hard time because she's 13, and she can't make new friends. She can't do anything. It's probably taking the hardest toll on her, which in turn is hard on everybody else. So.
Sure.
Funny how that works. One kid has a problem, and the whole house goes down. So 13 is your oldest. How old is your youngest?
The youngest, we had a 5-year gap, and then we decided to start over for some reason. The youngest is 9 months.
Okay.
Dear God, man.
And did you go get a vasectomy yet?
No, actually. I was checking out doctors right before we started to move, so... Because I hear there's a good one in Seattle.
You might just want to get your whole penis chopped off, man.
Doesn't he have like a famous
name? Yeah, I know he does. He's like Dr. Snip.
Dr. Snip.
Yeah. Like Dr. Snip you.
By the way, you got 6. Go for 7.
7? What are you talking about?
Doesn't matter anymore.
New shooter. Coming out. Roll 7.
Yeah. You got enough for like a sub and some basketball, man. You're good. You got like a 6-man.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally good. So, Mike, what rule did you break?
So, I broke. The city of Puyallup has apparently a law that you cannot shoot any projectile. And apparently that counts as any projectile. But I had a BB gun. And... my neighbor decided to call the cops and say that I was shooting a rifle. It was a break barrel BB gun. And so I heard the police, like, you know, when you hear a car really just flooring it, I heard the sirens and I heard a bunch of them. And then I heard a bunch of floored engines. One pulled across the street and the neighbor pointed right over to my yard. So I ran and put it away. And then when I came back out of the house, my kids were outside. Basically, their special response team had surrounded the house and had their weapons pointed at me and everything. And they're like, you were shooting a rifle? I said, I don't even own one. And they all like put their guns down. They're like, what? I said, I have a BB gun. Anyway, I ended up going and having to do community service and go to court and all that fun stuff.
What were you shooting, like a can in the backyard or something?
Just a break barrel BB gun.
I know, but what were you shooting at?
Oh, we had an apple tree on an acre.
Oh, okay. All right.
So did your neighbor always hate you, or was this a lapse in judgment on their part? What?
Apparently, I was living with my grandparents at the time. Apparently, he's always hated my grandparents.
I was going to say, you can definitely tell the difference between the sound of a BB gun and a rifle. I mean, look, even a .22.
Yes.
Right. I mean,
yes,
I can't imagine. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, there are a lot of people right now who, for good reason, are in the tattletale business.
Sure.
As far as people looking out for other people. Half of these rule breakers that we have other stories for are people who had the cops called on them for congregating in areas, for doing all kinds of things. But it is that, it's the person peeping through the curtain thing, you know?
And just to be a demon.
One person in New York actually went down to tell a group to disperse, and I'm sure you can imagine how that turned out for them.
Did they get their ass beat?
Well, I mean, as close as you can get. But if you can fight 6 feet away, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
I do my best fighting at 6 feet away.
I'm not usually into that kind of stuff, but right now, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
You see a bunch of idiots having a house party.
Well, yeah, that's a little different. You go, yeah, sure. Come on, man. And look, it sucks for all of us.
They called the cops on a group of, at a funeral. Basically, they were, it was a Jewish person that passed away. The immediate family was there.
Yeah, in New York City.
Said about 10 people there or whatever. And they busted them, man. They told them to get the hell out, you know?
Yeah, I saw the video of that, too.
Yeah, it's pretty like, wow.
It has not been great in that neighborhood.
No.
Because there was a couple weddings like the week before.
Many funerals now.
Yeah. Well, look at the guy in Maryland.
What?
He had a party with like 60 people, and the cops had to show up, and then the governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan, had to come out and was just like, I'm done with you idiots. Like, stop.
Somebody, hey, man, look, the Philippine president straight up told the cops, if you see him break the quarantine, shoot him.
Yeah.
No, shoot them dead.
Well, that's his thing.
Now, I know. He's pretty hard on things. Okay,
but you have to understand something else. Wednesday night, everybody went out on the streets because they couldn't get anything. So they went out and protest, supplies, arguing that they had not received any food packs. They were basically just saying, hey, we need food and all this stuff.
Sure.
So they went out in the street and did kind of a march to protest the fact that they couldn't get any supplies. The next day is when he says, I will not hesitate. My orders are to the police and the military, as well as village officials. If there is any trouble or occasions where violence and your lives are in danger, shoot them dead. Do not intimidate the government. Do not challenge the government. You will lose. That was from the president of the Philippines.
Or you can hook them with what you said you're going to give them.
Right, exactly. Who broke the rules, and did they get away with it or not? 844-999-0.
It's not an expectation. This is something that you had said to them in advance.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, like, they didn't just go out. They went out for a reason, like, where's the food at?
So if your word means nothing, stop talking.
I'm thirsty.
Right. Hello, Brendan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So, Brendan, who broke the rules?
Well, it was me.
Okay.
So I'm the guy that works for PG&E and does all the debris work. I have a set schedule from 7 to 5:30, and I was like, it's Friday. My boss lives in Fresno, so he's not gonna drive all the way out here to where I work just to come check up on me. And I locked my gate up at 5. 5:15 rolls around and start driving down the road, and as I'm coming around this corner, here's my boss coming the opposite way, and he just looks at me and starts shaking his head, and I was like, damn it.
All the way from Fresno, huh?
Yeah, that was a hell of a drive. What time are you supposed to technically lock up?
So I'm supposed to lock my gate up at like 5:15, and then I'm supposed to leave at 5:30.
All right,
so I locked my gate up at 5 and then left at 5:15. So
did he call you, or did he say anything to you afterward?
No, so I actually turned around and came back, and he looked at me. So I drove back and I stepped out of my truck, and I was like, I was like, hey, sorry about that. And he's like, you do that again, you're fired. And I was like, 10-4.
Gotcha, boss. Yeah.
Well.
Tonight's when conversations are that easy.
Mm-hmm. Who broke the rules, and did they get away with it or not? 844-999-OLA.
Drove up from Fresno.
What is your line? I didn't know.
Well, yeah, it works for a lot of things. you get in trouble for really stupid things at work. And, so things like, hey, man, you can't openly solicit for a monkey just to terrorize a boss. That's a real thing that happened years ago. But, you get admonished about it. But I always felt like when they're done, say, hey, man, I'm sorry, dude, I didn't know. And they get mad. But I'm like, listen, we did not know. You could not openly advocate to get a monkey to terrorize your boss. But now that you told us, we won't do it again.
We weren't going to get him to terrorize him. We're just going to lock the monkey in his office. So when he came to work, there'd be a monkey in his office.
Because this would bother this guy. Like, yeah. It wouldn't be cute
to bother a lot of people.
Yeah.
You think so?
Monkey in an office?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we were mad at him. We felt like he deserved it. This poor guy is our friend now.
Right. We really were. We were really trying to find somebody who had a monkey.
And then when he comes back, he's like, hey, everyone keeps telling me that you guys are trying to get a monkey to be in my
office. Yeah.
We said, yeah, because we kind of hate your guts.
Remember,
right
he
now.
Never touched the door handles.
No.
Yeah.
I licked his door handle just to piss him off. Who broke the rules and did they get away with it or not? 844-999-OLA.
That's the truth.
17 years ago.
Yes, exactly.
17 years ago.
A guy just been yelling at us about something. We're getting ready to leave.
I wouldn't put it on TikTok.
So Miles went ahead and licked the door handle. I remember the guy was
wasn't trying to be a social influencer.
He did it out of pure spite for someone we hated.
I was so mad.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Jason, what's happening?
All right, so the guy that I worked for actually broke a lot of rules in succession and did not get away with it. I was working downstate here and worked on power lines. So apparently he was taking the copper that we were pulling out of the air back to the scrapyard for the utility that we were working for. And he had a good thing going for a little while, I guess, because they didn't catch on to him for a little bit. And I come back, we start coming back into the yard one afternoon. Somebody pulls me aside and says, hey, man, just in case anybody says anything to you later, you're not going to be surprised by this. Eric got arrested at the scrapyard. So when he pulled in, apparently Yorktown police in that area met him there with the utility supervisor because they got tipped off that he was going to the scrapyard with all this stolen copper. And they, what we heard, racked him up on charges for $85,000.
Okay.
Totally.
I gotta ask you, man. What the hell goes on at these places where you go and you sell back stuff? Because you have to know that a majority of these things have been stolen. Like if someone comes with copper gutters, right?
You did not take them off your newspaper.
Like, oh my God, house with copper gutters stolen. I mean, don't they know who that guy is? Because you know what I mean? Like the guy who comes in with miles of copper wiring. Of like, you're not wiring your house. I mean, surely you got to sign off.
With all this, I guess it was over like 4 or 5 months they've been actually watching him because they got tipped off way before. He did get out of a possession of cocaine charge somehow in the same day, though.
Damn. Well, because you read about these guys who steal stuff from like from ball fields, like where the lights go up and all that stuff, and they rip all the copper out of that. And then I mean, if you take anything and sell it, don't you have to sign something or whatever? Like, where did you get all this copper lines from?
What got me, I mean, he kind of set himself up. Earlier on, I want to say months in advance, one of the supervisors just mentioned, hey, we're keeping track of all this stuff. I didn't have a clue what was being done with it. We were taking it back to the yard, dumping it off the trucks, and we weren't seeing it after that. And one of the supervisors says something, all right, nothing doing there. He mentions it again a couple days later. Still don't think anything about it. 2 weeks later, he mentions the same thing. So I finally went to the door. I was like, hey, I don't know what you've got going on, but these guys are asking some questions.
What? Okay.
Don't worry about it.
He takes a load to this place. How much money are they going to give him? Would you guess?
The load that I want to say that they were picking him up on, it was, I want to say, his biggest hit, because he was taking a company vehicle splattered with company logos, a company trailer splattered with company logos, and I want to say his biggest hit was probably somewhere in the range of about $10,000.
Damn, jeez. No wonder. Okay.
Yeah.
Golly.
And they racked him up for 85 is the number that we were told last. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's still going through the courts. This was very recent, so I'm not sure what all's happened since then, but he got busted.
Yeah.
Red-handed.
Copper, man. There was a bar close to my old house.
Yeah, I really like Moscow Mules.
I went in and just stole the Moscow Mule glass.
Yeah,
right? Take the liquor.
Yeah, just go to Karen's house. She's got like 10 of those cups.
But there was a bar near my old house, man, and they had a partial like kitchen fire or something. So they had to close down 6-7 months. They're going to rebuild. I got 86, and there were people like this place. Just give you a reference where it is.
Okay.
Right? So you guys know what I'm talking about. Yes.
Yeah, bacon fried.
Some of the best bacon fried rice.
That place is legendary in the city.
Bacon fried rice. But they wouldn't let me back in.
Sweet sour chicken.
And maybe they shouldn't let me back in. Things did not end well. Anyway, they had this partial fire, but every time I would get up to come to work and I go to the bus stop, you walk by this place, and I remember they're finally getting down to like the brass tacks of, man, we are maybe 2 weeks away from opening, and they put in part of a copper roof, but they had copper gutters. Because the bar itself looks kind of like a giant one-level house, lack of a better explanation. I get up the next day, and, well, the gutters are gone, the part of the copper roof's gone. I don't really give it much thought, you know, to get on the bus. About 2 days later, there's copper gutters there. There's a copper roof back. Now I'm thinking, like, okay, maybe they installed it wrong or whatever. I don't know. The next day, it is gone again.
You're kidding me.
No. About 2 weeks later, I walk by. There are plastic gutters, the aluminum roof, and it's been that way ever since. And the thing was, I guess they got hit twice in like 1 week for all the copper. And I do not know what copper's worth, but it is worth enough that these guys basically just staked this place out and let it put no more copper gutters and ran off with them.
Who broke the rules, and did they get away with it or not? 844-999-OLA.
I think I've heard less of that lately.
What's that, the copper theft? Well, I think a lot of it, honest to God, people are either using less copper during construction or it's something they take with them when they leave. Because you're the construction site to construction site, man. We show up the next day and the copper's gone. And it's not worth it. You're investing too much money. Hello, Richard. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola. So, Richard, who broke the rules?
Me and two buddies of mine. We had spent all our money on booze and cigarettes, and we ran out, and we were still sober, so we decided to do a BWERUN beer run. So we came up with a plan. One of us was going to be the distractor, which was me. One was going to walk out with two cases of 24 racks of beer, and the other one was going to stay behind and pretend to help the cashier chase us down. He went back and then stole a carton of cigarettes. And so we're making our way back. We're walking, of course, back to where we were staying. And we jaywalk across 99. And on our way back to where we were staying, we had been rolling some blunts and some joints. And I had a blunt in my ear, and I was holding a case of beer. And we made a mad dash across 99. It was like 1:30 in the morning. And we're crossing that border onto the north side, and we get whoop whoop. We get pulled over. We get a ticket for jaywalking, and the whole time the cops are standing there looking at us. I got this fat blunt in my ear. I'm obviously not of age for alcohol, but they didn't say anything about the alcohol. They didn't say anything about the cigarettes. They didn't even say anything about the beer. They just kind of gave us a weird look and said, y'all can't be jaywalking like that. There's a bridge like 50 feet away. You could have gone that way.
And if you are listening to any market outside of Seattle,
this is true.
Jaywalking apparently is one of the single grossest offenses you can commit.
Oh, yeah.
Listen,
oh, yeah.
You can be underage. He has the beer. He has the blunt.
Don't break two rules at once.
Yes.
This is
real. They care about jaywalking.
Steve's not kidding.
Don't break two laws at once. That's stick with it, folks.
If you're listening in New Orleans, this is honest to God the truth. Look it up. You can Snopes it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. you've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hola, bitch, hola. You have entered the men's room.
What do you guys think about some of the stories that you've read about businesses out there that have tried to avoid the lockdown or still staying open? You think of the speakeasies that we were talking about the other day in New York City. A couple of strip clubs tried to remain open for a little while. Unfortunately, no one went. There was one in Michigan that tried to stay open for a while.
I mean, I think it's simple. Like, look, man, nobody enjoys this. No one's having fun with this. No one likes this. No one prefers their life to be this way. But we're all in this. So, you know, when they say essential places, most of us thank God for elementary school education and understand what the word essential means. So you would think things that help you literally survive. Sure. And Hobby Lobby is a fine shop. Let me tell you, man, if you do arts and crafts, there's no better place to go. But guess what? It's not freaking essential.
The Colorado Attorney General's office, in a letter to Hobby Lobby CEO, ordering the craft supply company to shutter doors immediately after it continued operating despite being named a non-essential business during the pandemic. For the avoidance of doubt, and as you have been previously notified, Hobby Lobby is not a critical business. According to the letter from the Attorney General, you are directed to immediately close all Hobby Lobby locations within the state of Colorado. Letter added that the state's executive order mandating non-essential business to shutter amid the COVID-19 outbreak will be enforced. So Wednesday, Hobby Lobby did what anyone would do. They remained open. ABC News visited two locations outside of Denver where store managers said they had no comment when asked why they continued to operate despite being required to close. Our question, who broke the rules and did they get away with it or not? 844-999-OLA.
I mean, come on, Hobby Lobby. If nothing else, you know you're not essential. That's all. Look, your kid might really, really, really need you to buy some sequin material to make that Halloween outfit that they've been dreaming about.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your kid to deal with it.
You're not going to get those nice little Ziploc bags if you're buying drugs these days. You're going to get it all twisted up in a little corner pocket.
But let me ask you this. Do you care? If Crown Royal started handing me their booze in a brown paper bag, but that's cool.
Have to be a wide one.
It would have to be a wide one, but I'm all right with that.
Yeah, wide.
Hello, Andrew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola. Andrew, were you the rule breaker?
Yes, I was. I want to stop for just half a second and let the listeners know on 18, where 167 meets 18 in Auburn, there's a two-car accident that's blocking half the road. I just passed it 10 minutes ago.
Is it a bad accident?
Yeah, there's people out. People seem to be walking around, but there's a lot of traffic starting to back up already.
Okay.
So not a good accident.
No.
People are driving fast out there, man. You got to remember, people are flying.
Yeah, so I'm guilty of that for sure.
When these accidents happen, man, they're happening at a high rate of speed. All right, so how did you break the rules?
I broke the rules. I got ticketed six separate times for excessive noise due to my exhaust on my car.
Now, is this intentional that your car is that loud?
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Oh, yeah. And I got out of it all six times.
Okay. How do you get out of it at that point?
Well, so the first time I went to court, they said the ticket was due to broken or missing exhaust.
Did you have an exhaust?
Oh, yeah, I had a full exhaust system, and I had the receipt. And then when I first time I went, I showed them the receipt from the exhaust system that I had purchased, and they said, okay, case dismissed.
Okay, why didn't the exhaust work?
No, it did. It was super loud, so they thought he didn't have a muffler.
Oh,
and he's like, no, so I did. I have one.
The muffler itself is supposed to make your car as loud as humanly possible?
Right. Buy aftermarket exhaust and all that stuff. That's how these things get very loud.
But the funny thing is, when they say you don't have one, he's like, well, sure I do.
All right.
Yep, and after the third time in the same court with the same judge, he started basically going, just go home.
So that worked to your advantage, that you had the same judge.
Yes.
And the same muffler, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a legal muffler.
So according to Washington state law, a modification is anything that does not come from the factory. That is down to the oil that came from the factory of, say, your Ford that you buy.
All right. So anything you do to the car after the fact is going to be an aftermarket part.
according to what Washington law states it as. And so if you, when you point out to a judge that he has to scrap his car just because he's done oil changes, he's like, no, that's ridiculous. Go home.
Okay. All right. So there's a loophole that you can get around.
Oh, yeah.
And how far away can I hear you coming?
Well, in that car, the record was a mile and a half.
That you could hear you coming?
Yes.
Man, oh, man.
What? Does it make your car faster?
It opens up the exhaust so that you can go faster, yes.
Now, does this seem to help you? Do the panties hit the floor when this happens, when you go, rawr?
Oh, no, I was in high school now.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay, just checking. A mile and a half.
Hey, man, that's what you like.
Who broke the rules, and did they get away with it or not? 844-999-OLAM, where your call's coming up in seconds.
Shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.